I want you to go to chapter 3. And if you go to verse 16, John 3:16. That's the verse you see in the stands when people at sporting events and they're holding up John 3:16. Mm-hmm. A very popular verse. Yeah. But we're going to talk about it today and make sure we understand it. John 3:16. Is everybody there? Yeah. Anybody need more time? Will you say wait? All right. I'm going to read from King James Version of the Bible this morning. John 3:16 reads like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his, what, only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what, perish, but have, what, everlasting life. Is that right? Amen. We're going to speak from this subject this morning. The love of God. Will you say that after me? The love of God. Thank you for standing, church, as we look at that scripture. Talk about the love of God. Somebody might say, well, we all know that God is love. We all know that love is the most important thing. You know what Paul said when he's teaching in Corinthians? What he said on behalf of God? He said, when you take all the spiritual gifts that God has given, he said, there may come a time when some of them will cease. There's going to come a time when some would fail. And then he went on and said, but love never failed. That's his way of saying nothing wrong with seeking spiritual gifts. God used them in a powerful way in the development of the church. But he said, above all, everything that you do, nothing will be more important than learning how to love your brother and your sister. Amen. Is that right? Yes. Now, here are three things that we're going to talk about in regards to the love of God that come from the scripture. First, we're going to see that nothing matches God's love. Nothing matches God's love. Secondly, we'll see that nothing matches God's sacrifice. Nothing matches his sacrifice. And thirdly, we'll see that nothing matches God's forgiveness. His love, his sacrifice, his forgiveness. So remember that when we talk about the Bible, particularly we talk about the New Testament, we are New Testament believers. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we disregard the Old Testament. What we recognize is that God gave the Old Testament before he came back to earth to physically make that sacrifice for us. So when we're studying the Old Testament, some things may not be as clear as they are in the New Testament. Because God wants us to know more than anything, he loves us. He loves us. Yes, sir. And so look at the scripture. The scripture say, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there are some truths in this verse that will never change. They're not going to change. It doesn't matter what generation you're talking to. Doesn't matter what year it is. Doesn't matter whether prices are going up or down. None of that stuff matters. Because God's word does not change. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, how important is that? Listen, we live in a world where people will change their stripes overnight if they believe it'll get them a few more votes.
Amen.
People will talk out of both sides of their mouth in order to get support from people that they want to get support from. And God would say, hey, that's not me. God would say Christians ought not do that.
Amen.
When we say something, it ought to be true.
Yes.
And if it's true, it ought to be just as true next week as it was last week.
Amen.
Is that right? We're studying the right Bible. And so when we look at this verse that God has sent through John, he wants us to understand that nothing in the world is ever going to match God's love. Nothing. I don't care how much money you have. God bless you. You bought bitcoins when they were 25 cents a piece, and now they're $20,000 for one. God bless you. Use your wealth for the glory of God. God's pleased with that.
Amen.
But one day, bitcoins may not be worth a nickel. Right. But God is always going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, nothing matches God. Preacher, how do we know that God loves us? Think about what God did for us. And I say us because I'm including all of us. Every believer, this is going to be true for. God put himself in a position to take on the sin of the world. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, God did not have any sin. Who had the sin?
We did.
It was us. We were the ones who were messed up. Because when Adam and Eve got messed up, that took all of us. Right along with them. And what it meant when it said that we were messed up, unless something was going to be done about our sinful nature, we would never be able to go to heaven and see God. That's how serious the situation was. But to show God's love, God in this one verse, and this is one reason it's quoted so much, God loved the world and loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. It tells us then that God's son is real. Is that right? Now, listen, the way God does it is a little different from the way the world does it, normally with men and women. God came into the world, but he had no involvement, no blood from Joseph. No sperm, no blood from Mary. Mary was the vessel, but the Holy Spirit is responsible for this process. What difference does that make, preacher? Because when we talk about paying the price for us and loving us so much and showing us that nobody loves us like God loves us, just look at what he did. He took his only begotten son. That tells us also there was never going to be another time when God would come and present his son in the flesh on this earth. When somebody comes along today and they're telling people, I'm the new Messiah. You and I have to know can't possibly be true. And you got to be willing to tell people that. When people come along and say, I'm the new apostle, I'm the new prophet. No, you're not. Why? Because this Bible is complete. God has said all he wants to say to us right here. The problem today is not about knowing what God says to us. The problem is being willing to live by what God says.
Amen.
That's the challenge for humans today. It's not knowing. We don't need to know another thing about who God is. We already know who God is. God's our creator. Is that right? Am I preaching to the choir? Is that right? He's our creator. And because he's our creator, he tells us in his word what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live, and why he wants us to concentrate on love. Listen, there are some things in the world today that people think are important. If I asked you today, is money important in this world? Everybody would probably say, yeah, to some degree. Is having a roof over your head important to people? Some people would probably say, yeah, to some degree. Is being able to have food to eat important? Somebody would probably say, yes, I think it's important. But if we ask people, is God important in your life? Do you know there are some people who would say no? Now, when they say no, they're taking a great risk. Because God has been very clear with us as humans. If we don't believe in him, if we don't accept him as Lord and Savior,
yes, say it.
You ain't going to see grandma.
Amen.
A mother, a father,
amen.
A brother, a sister, or any saved person. Because the only way we get to heaven is that we go through Jesus Christ. He's love. When we want to see what love is all about, we got to look at his story. We look at his life. Now remember, Jesus had no sin in his life. He was not burdened down by sin. But when time came for him to fulfill his mission, what did he do? He took the sin of the whole world on his shoulders, didn't he? Now we have to just imagine sometime how painful that must have been. You are a sin-free being. You're not in love with sin. You don't commit sin. But now you got to bear sin in order to pay the price for the world. Some of us would have said, hey, no, let them take care of themselves. Jesus accepted that challenge, took sin on his shoulder, paid the full price so that you and I could get to heaven. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say thank you. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing Zion songs. That's why sometimes you get so full, you just can't stop filling up. You get so full sometimes, you just feel it all over. You feel him moving in your heart. And to think that there are some people who have never had the experience of knowing what it feels like to have Jesus in their life. You got to keep praying for people. Because once you know him, once you know that he loves you, man, you just light up. You want to know how to deal with some of the stresses of the world? Take Jesus into your life. You want to know how to deal with some of the headaches? Because headaches are out there. But take Jesus into your life. Now the scripture here says something more than that. Not only does God love us and nothing matches God's love, it also tells us that nothing matches God's sacrifice. What are you talking about, preacher? What are we saying is that the sacrifice that needed to be made for humanity was to find somebody who had no sin, who could pay the price for sin of humanity, and that was a short list. Now I come by with the news flash. My name wasn't on it, on that short list. Abraham's name wasn't on that list. Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and go right on down the line. Nobody's name was on it. One name was on that list. His name was Jesus. And because his name was the only one on it, he's the only one who could pay the price. You know, there are some people in the world today that think, okay, well, I don't understand why you talk about Jesus so much. Other people believe in other gods. What's wrong with calling on that God? Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. I got some witnesses here. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. That's why he was sin free. That's why he sacrificed himself. And so nothing matches God's sacrifice. But because God made that sacrifice, he took care of whatever was wrong with us that would keep us out of heaven. Now, somebody needs to think about this, because you're the only one who knows whether you accept Jesus completely as your Lord and Savior. And here's the thing, we don't fool God. God doesn't care what we put on paper. He doesn't even care what words come out of our mouth, because he reads our hearts. And that's what's most important. So all of us have to ask ourselves, do we have the heart for God? Do we trust God as Lord and Savior? Do we accept his sacrifice? Because listen, even though Jesus died on the cross and paid that sacrifice, do you know that it doesn't count toward getting us into heaven unless we accept him as Lord and Savior? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying some would say when he died on the cross and paid the price for sin, That meant that every human in the world was now free from sin. That's not what the Bible said. Bible says we got to confess and believe in Jesus Christ in order to benefit from what he did for us. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's time to go to work. Time to go to work for the Lord. It's time for us to stop sitting around complaining that there's too much violence. It's time for us to stop complaining that prices are out of control. Now, let's put Jesus in control. He can handle the prices. Does anybody believe it? He can handle the violence. Does anybody believe it? So nothing matches the sacrifice. Nothing matches the sacrifice. Nothing matches the love. But I think this is probably the biggest thing from this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For what reason, God? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him. Preacher, help me understand when he say whosoever, who's he talking about? What he's saying is it doesn't matter where you live in the world. If you trust Jesus, this applies to you. Doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. If you trust Jesus, this applies to you. Doesn't matter what language you might speak as your native language. If you trust Jesus, this applies to you. He said, whosoever believeth. If we believe, preacher, what does God say we're going to have? He says we're going to have everlasting life. Now, I don't have to be a scientist to understand when he says everlasting, it means it will have no what? No end. No end. People got to stop walking around saying, I think I was saved last week, but I don't know if I'm saved right now. Why not? If God has saved you, you never lose what God gives you. That's because he loves us. That's why he calls it everlasting life. Now, what difference does that make? When I have everlasting life, I can stop complaining about some of the things going on around me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's nothing better than knowing for certain that you've got salvation. That if yesterday had been your last day, you know where you're going to be. And going to be is you're going to be with God. You got no complaint about it. If I don't know that, I might be worried. Maybe that's why I have some gray hair. If I'm worried about it. Is that right? Because I love this gray hair. Let me go down a rabbit trail for a minute. I love the gray hair because it took a while to get there. And God's been good to me. Through all the ups and downs. He could have made life such that he would just control us like a robot. Come on, sir. We never made any mistakes. We never had any challenges in our life. But what good would that do? Let me tell you, when God brings you back from something, when God brings you through something, when God lets you stand up straight when you've been bending down for so long, then you're willing to say, Lord, I love you. And you don't really care that your neighbor may not understand. Because God wants you to know that he loves you. And because he loves you, shouldn't we love God? How we were willing to lift up our hands, use our voice, put a smile on our face because of how good God is. Because God's love is real and is powerful. And it's perfect. And can't nobody do you like God. He is a good God. Not sometime good. Y'all know anybody here has some friends. You've had some friends in your life who didn't show up when you needed them. I hope a whole lot of folks didn't have to go through that. But you know, sometimes you go through things and people will be friends while you're doing good. But sometime when the burdens come, that friend may be on down the road. Now, they may come back when you get back on your feet. But our question ought to be, hey, if you couldn't stand up with me when I was struggling, do I really need you now that things are going good again? God is not like that. God's love is not like that. His love is everlasting. His love is in our life forever. And all God asks us is, will you show other people? Will you show other people who I am? Will you share the good news with somebody else? Let them know I'm on the throne. Oh, you know, we talk about what God does for us. But this scripture is clear. Whosoever believes, whosoever, God doesn't put limits on who it is. When they get that understanding about who God is, God says, you have everlasting life. I think that's good news. Is that good news? If God treated us like people treated us, they'd always be calling up who we used to be. Huh? I remember you from when? And what makes you think you can stand up straight now? I know about your past. And God says, I know about your past too. But I don't care. That's good news. I know who you used to be. But I see who you're trying to be now. I know what you used to do. But I know you are a new creature. And because you are a new creature, stand up straight. Understand I'm in your corner. I cover you with my blood. Does he say that? Huh? I'm so glad. Because if I had to do this myself, if I had to get into heaven based on being a good person, I come to give you my last news flash. It wouldn't work. I ain't good enough. But because Jesus looks at me in my condition, with my faults, with my shortcomings, and he said, because you trust me, I cover you with my blood. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Somebody ought to say amen. Nothing, no love like God's love. Nothing matches God's love. And so we are here today. And what can we do to show God that we love him like he loves us? The least thing we can do is tell somebody else. The truth is, y'all, we work with some people who are not saved. We live in some neighborhoods where everybody's not saved. We shop in stores and the shopping malls where everybody's not saved. But we got to stop being bashful. We got to not be ashamed. We got to testify to somebody that God's been good to me. And I'm never going to stop telling people God's been good to me. I want to sing his praises. I want to shout Zion for him. God is a mighty good God. Does anybody believe it? And so as we look at this scripture, just remember the reason it's quoted so much, because it's completely true. It says what God wants us to know about him. God does not change. He's not double-minded. He is a mighty God. It's good that we'll come to the church house. But better that we come to God. It's good that we'll come to Sunday school, that we'll be ushers, that we'll sing in the choir. But it's better if we'll be God's children, living for God every day. Don't let anybody tell you that we can wait until tomorrow. Don't let anybody tell you that next month is just as good a time. If God allows you to understand who he is right now, we ought to run, not walk, to Jesus. We ought to show up on Jesus' side because he does love us. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. He sacrificed himself. Preacher, what do you mean? The scripture said he came to the cross for you and for me. He paid the full price for you and for me. He laid down his divinity for you and for me. Hung on the cross, went into the grave. You know the story. And if he had stayed in the grave, we would have nothing to preach about today. But because he got up from that grave, somebody have to say thank you. Has he been good to you? Has he been good to you? Come on, Deacon. Come on.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."